Morning again. I got a story to tell you this morning. It's about Chippy. Now, Chippy is a parakeet. Chippy's day started like his day normally does. He eats a little bird seed, and he was singing, sitting in his cage. But little did he know his day was going to change forever. His owner came in, decided she was going to clean his cage. But this time she decided she would use a vacuum cleaner. So Chippy was sitting on his perch singing, and she sticks the vacuum cleaner hose in through, and about that time her cell phone rings. So she looks down to answer her cell phone, and just as she starts to talk, she hears a thump, and she looks over and Chippy's gone. So she shuts off the vacuum cleaner and takes the top off, and sure enough, there's Chippy sitting down in with the dirt and the dust and everything else that's in a vacuum cleaner. So she grabs him out. He's all dirty, so she rushes him to the bathroom and plunges him under running water and washes all the dirt off. Now Chippy's shivering and cold, and she sees that, so she grabs a hair dryer and gives him a blast of hot air, dries him all off, and takes him back and puts him in his cage. Well, the next day, the neighbor was over to check on how Chippy was doing. After the neighbor told the story of Chippy through the vacuum cleaner. And she said, well, Chippy's okay, but he doesn't sing anymore, and he just has a blank look on his face and stares through the bars. And isn't that how that is for a lot of us? As they used to say, that life chews us up, spits us out. Well, that's what happened to Chippy. He got chewed up and spit out and blow-dried. So his outlook on life was forever changed. But Chippy is an illustration of some of the things that I've seen and I've heard talking to people, not only inside this church, but outside the church also. Our community is full of unhappy, dissatisfied people, and not just the non-Christians, the Christians also. For this reason, people everywhere are looking for answers. They're looking for answers for that emptiness they feel inside. These people are willing to try anything that might bring them some sort of a satisfaction, a moment of happiness. And perhaps that explains why there's so much divorce, so many money problems, unhappiness, suicide, drug dependency, alcohol dependency, eating disorders, about every other disorder you can think of. Because people are always trying to fill a void in their life. This world is messed up. This town is messed up. Non-Christians are messed up, and so are Christians. So what's the solution? Where do we find the answers? In materialism and wealth? Maybe pleasure and enjoyment? Power, prestige, religion, wisdom, understanding? Everybody has an answer. But I think the Bible only has the only right answer. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way of death. You see, we can have our ideas and our own understanding of where we find happiness, but it's unless it's God's way, it'll lead us to death. It only leads us to more unhappiness and more emptiness because we're looking to the world instead of to the Lord. Jesus said in John 10:10, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I think the important part of this for us today is the more abundantly part. Look what Jesus promised us. Abundantly means more than enough, ample, overflowing. The Latin word is literally translated overflowing. So we're to have life overflowing, happiness overflowing, or so the Word of God tells us. When this word abundant is used in our life, it means we should have a life that's overflowing with the things that make us happy, the things that bring us joy, the things that bring us peace. That would seem that would be the promise of God. But we have to do our part also. You see, I think that's like a second blessing. Not only did he come to give us eternal life, but he came to give us abundant life. That's a plus on what he's already given us. And we don't deserve the first. But he loves us so much. And I believe that Christians today do not live life abundantly because they don't believe that God has promised it, or they don't understand how to do it, or what it entails. That's sad that we don't know that's available to us as Christians. See, God desires his children to be full of happiness, peace, and a genuine love that can only come from him. Jesus said it then, and it applies for us today. It can be done, and Jesus is the one that can do it. We are promised a quality of life, an abundant life. I believe it does exist. I've talked to people just this week that have given up. Recently, my wife has got me started back on Facebook for different reasons. And I've been reading down through things. And, you know, there's people out there that are just plain sad. They've given up on life. I read that there's no joy in what they write, only sadness. That makes me sad that they can't see there's more to life than what the world has to offer them. You see, the people who enjoy abundant life will possess the qualities of love and joy and peace, kindness, patience, gentleness, self-control, compassion, humility, modesty, faith and character, wisdom, enthusiasm. These are all characteristics of an abundant life, of the peace and the joy that Jesus Christ brings to us. In other words, abundant life is everything that money and wealth can't buy us. It's those things that come from within. It's those things that come from Christ himself. So no matter how much money you have, you can't buy more patience, more love, or more salvation. You can't go to a hardware store and buy wisdom or hope. That can only come from God. And all those qualities are available to you right here, right today. And they always have been. James 1:17 says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow or turning." So I want to know today, are you in the pursuit of an abundant life? Are you willing to settle for what the world has to offer, or a lukewarm Christian existence? Abundant life means we're free of the bad things, the things we try to get away from, the negative qualities, the selfishness, the lust, the hate, the unforgiveness, envy, jealousy, fear, discontent, or immorality, discord, rage, dishonesty. What about greed and gossiping? Maybe slander and pessimism and despair. To have an abundant life, you have to be free of those things. These are qualities that will drag you down, that will never allow you to raise above what the world has to offer. And God can remove every one of these negative qualities from your life, every one of them. The people of Corinth at one time lived an immoral life just like that. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says, "And such were some of you, but you were washed and you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God." Now, if Corinth was able to get over these things, was able to experience these things of God, so can Coshocton and so can Coshocton Baptist Church. I believe that he can wash away every negative trait in our being. But I believe you also need to believe that he can do it. It doesn't happen if you don't believe that he can do it. You have to reach out in faith and in trust. It doesn't matter that I was hot-tempered at one time. I can't stand up and say, "This is who I am and this is how you have to take me," because it's not true. Jesus can change each and every one of us, and he does. I have no right to say that I cannot be changed by a God that can change anything. I just have to believe and be willing to go through the paces. And that's just another benefit of living an abundant life. Anyone that does not have Jesus in their life cannot have an abundant life. There's no way. You can experience some happiness and some satisfaction. But you know, the people that are non-Christians, that have those qualities, they're only living half a life. It's possible for someone to live outside of the knowledge of Christ and have a good, decent life. They can be happy. They can find joy. And they can find peace. But not the happiness and the joy and the peace of Jesus Christ. And they forget one thing. At the end of their life, they're going to die. They're going to be gone. It's going to be all over. But those that know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior will have all those things. And they'll have them all for eternity. It's the quality of life that we have with Jesus Christ. And I'm going to keep hammering it to you all this message about abundance of life. Because we look it over. We don't accept it. And it's available. Ephesians 2 verses 4 and 5 says, "But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love in which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved." This is the Word of God. And we had a discussion in one of our classes, I don't remember if it was Wednesday night or Sunday night, about is the Bible true? Well, we come up with enough reasons to prove that every word in the Bible is the true inspired Word of God. So this tells me that if God loved me even when I was dead in my trespasses, how much more he loves me now when I know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. 1 Timothy 6:17 says, "God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment." Did you catch that? Everything we need for our enjoyment can come from God. We are commanded to rejoice in the Lord always. We sing a song here that's got that in it. It's my pleasure to obey that command, to rejoice always. I would love to be happy every day of my life, just like Chippy the day before he took his trip through the vacuum cleaner, to be singing every day. And maybe you still don't believe it's possible, but it is. All believers are invited to abundant living. It's available to every one of God's children. I'm not one of those name it and claim it preachers that believe you're going to get anything you ask for. But we're promised joy and happiness. Many people believe that abundant life is dependent on your circumstances, your luck or fate or your job, how much money you have, how many material things you have, but that's not it. Some of those things are highly valued in our lives and they're good to have. In Luke 16:15, it says, "What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight." We need to remember those things that we strive after, those things that we fight for, those material things won't add to our abundant life. All they are is anchors that drag us down, those things that keep us unsettled and never satisfied with what we have. Wealth, power, status, and worldly pleasures really have nothing to do with an abundant life. Abundant life means there is an abundance of something. And that's what we get the most out of life. We don't want to just be living just to make a living or to just get by. In Matthew 6:25, it says not to worry about our life or what we eat or drink. God will take care of all that for us. It allows us to be preoccupied with the things that do matter. The Word of God, the love of our brothers and our sisters, the reaching out taking care of each other, the fellowships. Don't allow the urgent to control your life. Take time to look around and see what God is really, truly doing in your life and where your happiness comes from. You'll notice people that seem to be always happy, always have joy, a smile on their face. And I think you'll find that these are people that are quietly going about their lives. They have meaning and hope. They have happiness, they have satisfaction, because they're looking on the good side of life. They don't dwell on the fact that they don't have the newest car or the nicest house or the most money in the bank. Yeah, some of them things are important, and it matters that you get by, but their focus isn't on those things. It's on the joy and the good things in their life. It's about the children, about their brothers and their sisters, their moms and their dads. It's about the quality of their friendships, the quality of their home life, and their strong faith in God. Their life becomes an adventure worth living. How would it be every day if you got up looking forward to what the day had for you and not occupy yourself with the drudgery of your job, but look past that into something more substantial, more spiritual, more in line with God? But I hate to say it, but abundant life isn't necessarily a life of comfort and ease. Because, you know, sometimes we have to go through the fire to burn away the impurities in our life. And that happens. Just as we chastise our children, God has to chastise us from time to time and get us refocused on where we should be. It's not dependent on outside circumstances. What happens to us isn't nearly as important as what happens inside of us, in our spiritual being. You know, some of the greatest men in this country grew because of the extreme hardships they faced in their life that molded them into the men that they were, the leaders of the country, the great teachers. Abundant life isn't necessarily glamorous or flashy or outwardly impressive. Abundant life is like that small and narrow gate. It's hard to see. It's hard to find sometimes because there's no flashing lights and no neon to point it out. You have to take the time to look and to seek it out on your own. You have to desire it in your heart. And it's not necessarily obtained quickly. People can receive eternal life fairly quickly. It can come on you in a moment when all of a sudden you realize the need for Christ in your life and you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Sometimes it happens in the middle of a tragedy, and it happens in a moment and you realize who Christ is. But it's not always that way with abundant life. It grows slowly as you learn and you reach out and your life begins to change. And all of a sudden those things that you once found important just kind of fade away, and the important items will float to the top. But don't allow that to discourage you. The person who needs to lose 100 pounds of weight and a person who only needs to lose 10 pounds, you'll both get there sooner or later. It just takes the larger person a little longer to get there. But don't despair and don't give up. It's all about growing in the Lord and reaching that goal at the end. Some of us carry around more spiritual baggage than others, and it takes us longer to unload that baggage, and our trip may be a little longer. But the point is, years from now, God willing, you're still going to be here, and either you will become a few years older and grown in your abundant love, or you'll be a few years older and still struggling with the problems in your life. And really and truly, the choice is yours. because God is there. But it's not easy to obtain. It's hard to do, especially in this world. We have so many things pushing us away, drawing us away from God and interfering with our relationship. There was a book, it's called Over the Top by Zig Ziglar. It's a nice, inspirational book to read. And I got five things that is a good description of abundant living from it. Number one is you clearly understand that failure is an event, not a person. That yesterday ended last night and today is your brand new day. You have made friends with your past. You are focused on the present and optimistic about your future. You know that success doesn't make you and failure doesn't break you. You are secure in who you are, so you are at peace with God and in fellowship with man. And the last one, you understand that others can give you pleasure. A genuine happiness comes from doing things for others. Basically, what all five of these have in common is you can't change your past. What has happened has happened. Accept it, make peace with it, and move on. Today is the day that you're living. This is the day that is important. When you get up in the morning, you can either be an optimist or a pessimist. You can look for the joy of the day or you can look for the pain of the day. It's your choice. The future, that's what you plan for. That's what you use today for, to try to be better today, which will make you better tomorrow. When you start your day, look for others that you can bring happiness to. People that you can reach out to, you can serve, and you can make feel better about themselves. It's not a magic formula to receive this abundant life. As I said before, we decided the scripture is inspired by God and it's true and it's all useful for teaching. Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it will be opened. And going on to chapter 11 or verse 11, it says, if then being evil you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? It's all on you. God's waiting. But you have to knock and you have to answer. You have to seek him out and he will give you the good things that you need to have an abundant life. We can sit here in this church on our rear ends in these seats and listen to a message and then go on out the doors and live life as we always have. Well, if you're not seeking him, that's all you're going to have is a life of the same old, same old. No abundant life, no pleasures, just getting by, reacting to the now, the urgent things that come upon you instead of trusting in God. And in verse 11, he's saying, if we can give good gifts to our children, how much better is it the gifts that God gives to us? We love our sons and our daughters, but our love is pale in comparison to how much God loves us. And think of the treasures that he wants to pour out into our lives. But all we have to do is knock to seek him out, and he'll open the door. I don't know if there's some of you here today that realize that you've never really experienced that abundance of life. Maybe there's some of you here today that are experiencing that abundance that God wants to give us, that overflowing of his love and that peace and the happiness. Back in John 10:10, they said, for those who, the thief who does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. Jesus wants us to have life. He wants us to have an abundant life. If you've already said yes to eternal life, then that abundant life is open to you. Jesus said in Mark 11:24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you will have them. How many of you here today believe that God truly, truly wants to answer our prayers, wants to give us the desires of our heart? Well, I'm telling you, He does. He's not going to give you anything that will separate you from Him. But He wants you to have the desires of your heart. He came so we may have life and have it more abundantly. And we need to grab a hold of that as Christians. Too many Christians in this country of ours live a life of despair and no hope when they shouldn't be doing that. There is hope. There is joy and there is happiness. But we have to get above the muck and the mire of this world and stand on the Word of God. Let's do a little life check for each one of us today. Answer these questions in your head. You don't have to answer out loud. Do you feel stressed out? Bored? Are you always tired? Has all the joy left you? Has your Christian service become drudgery? Now think back to when you felt joy and excitement in your Christian life. What is different from then to now? What's changed in your life? See, God hasn't moved. He's still right where He always was. So if you can figure out where you were then and where you are now, you'll see how far you've moved away from God. So what has crept into your life like that thief in the night to rob you of your joy, to rob of your happiness? And those gifts that God wants to give you. Next question is, do you want to return to that point in your life when your spiritual fire was burning? If you do, you need to look for the positives and stop dwelling on the negatives in your life. You need to get your Bible out and actually read it. You need to come to a Bible study if that helps you. And talk about it. We have a great group on Wednesday night and Sunday nights now. We have some really good discussions. At least my opinion. I enjoy the company. I enjoy the questions. And everybody's different point of view. And that's what brings the Bible alive. It's not just a bunch of dusty words that you have to sit and read by yourself. It's living. And it brings life. And last, pray always. Talk to God. And wait for Him to answer. And God does answer. All you have to do is look around to see where He's at work in your life. We talked about that on Wednesday night. The things that happen in your life, the things we call divine appointments, a lot of people just overlook them. If you don't think your prayers are being answered, when you pray, start writing your prayers down on a piece of paper. And then write how God answers them. But you need to be aware of the things that are happening in your life. I took our van down to have the front end aligned. It was a spur-of-the-moment thing. I got a phone call and they said, if you can be down here in a half an hour, we can do it today. We weren't scheduled to be in there for 2 weeks. I said, sure. I drove down. While I was sitting down there, a lady came in the room where I was waiting, and she asked me if I drove that green van in. I said, yeah. And she said, where's Coshocton Baptist Church? And I told her. And we sat there and had a nice discussion about God. But it all came because that was, I believe, was a divine appointment. The name on a van. Got me into a conversation. And I shouldn't even have been there that day. So you got to look at answers for your prayers. To me, I pray every day for the lost. I think that was an answer to a prayer. You may disagree, but it happens. And I think that's God at work. So we need to look at the positives in our life. Stop looking at the negative things that the world brings across us. If you need help, pick up a telephone and call a Christian friend. I don't know if I'm going to step on anybody's toes here or not, but if you have a problem, don't pour it out on Facebook. Call up a friend that you can actually speak to, that you can have a conversation with. You know, maybe I'm old school, but I don't think the typed words is as good as listening to the concern as you talk, as you reach out. You got a lot of friends here. You need to reach out. Let's all stand. Heavenly Father, there are so many that are hurting, that are crying out. Father, there are so many that seek this abundant life that you promise us, that Jesus says is available. And I just pray here this morning that we all find the way to turn to you, to reach out to you, Father, and gain understanding, gain wisdom of what it means of abundant life, of the things that you want to give us, that the peace and the joy that comes from knowing you. Father, I see the pain, I see the heartache, and I just pray for each one of those, Father, that they will find the answers that they seek, that they will turn to you, they will read in your word or in a conversation, in a Bible study, that their needs could be met, Father, that they would accept their place in life, knowing that you are there, that you provide all that we need, that you provide the happiness, that you provide the contentment, and that you give us eternal life. I thank you for your Son, for the blood that was shed. And Father, I just ask you to bless all those here today in their life, that you will speak to them, that he will fill you in their spirit. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. If that description fits any of you here today, don't go away without kindling that spark with Jesus Christ once again. Take the time to examine your life and see what has changed, what has robbed you of your joy. There is nothing outside these walls that will bring you the happiness that Jesus Christ will bring you. It has to come from within. It doesn't come through a paycheck or a title to a car or a deed to a house. It all comes through the Word of God.